God bless you today, beloved, in the wonderful name of Jesus, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Isa, whatever language. Praise God. I saw a guy recently. His whole goal in life is to tell everybody that they're going to hell because they use the name Jesus. And that's not the proper name, it's Yeshua. And, he said, if we use the name of Jesus, we can't be saved. And so that's his goal in life, is to set everybody straight. I shouldn't laugh at this kind of thing because, oh my goodness, we are such a mess. And we get so convinced that we are right on so many things. And we will die for things that are just absolute lies, absolute deception. And we are easily deceived as human beings. We are all born into darkness, which is, oh my goodness, I'm going to talk about this today because God shines his light out of the darkness. I learned a lot of things in the light, but I didn't understand any of them until I faced the darkness. Oh my goodness. Oh God, help us. That's not exciting, but what I'm going to talk about is it's the light shining out of darkness. But the truth of the matter is, I never really understood the light until, or what I was learning in the light until I faced the darkness. And there's so many scriptures in the Word of God about darkness, and it's such a mystery. Mystery is the perfect word. It's a mystery why God chooses to reveal the truth out of darkness. If you look even in the very beginning, very interesting, in the very beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, King James, I believe, says the earth was without form. If you look at that Hebrew word up, the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew. That was a Hebrew word that meant a disaster, a chaotic wasteland. And the earth was without form. That word disaster, chaotic wasteland, it's only used a couple times in the entire Old Covenant. And when you get to Jeremiah, it's very interesting because it literally says, with that exact same Hebrew word, that God did not create the earth in that state. He didn't create the earth in chaos. For thus says Jehovah, who created the heavens, God himself, who formed the earth and made it, he who established it, not as a waste did he create it. That's that, not as a waste, not as a waste is. Not that exact same Hebrew word that's in Genesis 1:2. And the earth was a waste. It's that same word. God did not create it as a waste. So what happened? And why did God plan to create us and to come and do what he did in our existence? It began with him approaching the waste, the chaos, and the darkness. And God commanded light. He said, "Light be," and the light shone in the darkness. Now, this is how our existence began. We began with God shining light into the darkness. And then there's so many scriptures. Oh my goodness, it's so revelatory to understand this. Because it was done on purpose. God didn't create the earth like that. It became like that. Something happened in the cosmic system. Something happened. A lot of people believe it has something to do with the fall of Satan, something to do with some kind of pre-Adamic race of people or something like that. I don't know. But I know that God didn't create the earth in a waste state, in a chaotic state. He didn't create it in darkness. Something happened. And then he comes and he speaks, "Light be," and the light shines out of the darkness. And it even says, I think the last verse I threw up here, for good measure. It even says that there was evening and there was morning. There was day, I'm sorry. And that was the first day. And still, all these thousands of years later, every person's day begins at 12 a.m. at the darkest time of the night. Every person's day begins in the entire world in the darkest time of the night. That's when your day begins. We don't think like that. We think our day begins when I get up out of bed and the sun rises. But the clock, it can't lie. Your day begins at 12 a.m. in the darkest time. And that's how God made it from the very beginning. Now, what does all this mean? Why does God choose to begin the work in our life in darkness? What is it? It says in Job, I was meditating on this week, so powerful. It says in Job that God reveals mysteries from the darkness. The Amplified Version says he uncovers mysteries that are difficult to grasp and understand out of the darkness. He says in Isaiah that God would shine his light out of darkness. And then Matthew quotes that again, with it, God would shine his light out of the darkness. I was looking for it because I posted so many things here. Isaiah said, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Matthew quotes that with Jesus coming. The people that sat in darkness saw a great light. When you get to 2 Corinthians, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, referring back to Genesis chapter 1, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. It says in the Old Covenant that God even makes darkness his hiding place. He hid behind thick clouds, pavilions of darkness. He hid behind it. He made darkness his secret place, his hiding place. And then it says something amazing in 1 John. It says that in God there is no darkness at all. There's none. So we have all of these scriptures about how God shines his light out of the darkness, how he reveals to us mysteries in the darkness, how our day begins in darkness, how our creation began in darkness. And then we get to John. And he says, this is the message. Now, watch this here. We're about to start getting into something we can grasp here. John says, this is the message we have received from the eternal life that came down out of heaven. If you look in 1 John chapter 1, the eternal life that was with the Father came down out of heaven. We touched it. We experienced it. It's talking about Jesus. He is the eternal life. Eternal life is not what you get when you die. Eternal life is a kind of life. It's Jesus. It's the last Adam. When the eternal life came down out of heaven, we saw it. We experienced it. We touched it, John says. And this is the message. Watch this. This is the message. John narrowed everything God was trying to say through Jesus Christ down to one message. This is the message that the eternal life brought to us, that in God, there is no darkness at all. Now, this doesn't even make sense to our natural, Gentile minds, but to the Jews, that was mind-boggling because God had always, anytime God showed up, he showed up with great darkness surrounding him. He would hide behind it. They couldn't see his glory. And to the Jews, God was very terrifying and very scary. This great, scary darkness would come. And John says, this is the message that we've received from the eternal life that was with the Father. Jesus said, no one has seen the Father except for the one that came out of the Father. The eternal life, Jesus Christ, is the only life that really knows who the Father is. It's the only life that really understands the Father. And this is the message that he brought to us. That in the Father, in God, there is no darkness at all. And yet God has chosen to use the darkness. that, according to the word, originated with Satan. It originated with the fall of the angels. That darkness, he chooses to use it to reveal to us the truth. Now, why am I talking about this? Because, as I said a little while ago, oh my God, what a heavy statement. I said, I didn't really understand what God told me in the light until I faced the darkness. And then I began to understand it. It was kind of a reverse in my life, because like Paul, who's or Saul of Tarsus, who got so zealous for God, and he was always searching the light and reading the scriptures and praying and seeking God, and yet he didn't understand the truth, watch this, until his eyes were blinded. He was on the road, and God and Jesus appeared to him, and he fell to the ground, and his eyes were blinded. He couldn't see for 3 days. He had like fish scales over his eyes. He became completely and totally blind. Everything went dark for a man who had been seeking God his entire life. He had been reading the scriptures all of his life. He had memorized probably every scripture that there was, but at least the first five books of the Bible. Saul was absolutely radical for the light. He was a representative of the light. Everything he lived for was the light, and yet he did not comprehend it. He couldn't comprehend it until he went into total darkness. And through the darkness that he went into, God opened up his spiritual eyes when his natural life went into the greatest darkness that anybody could face. Utter despair, blind, total blindness. Everything he had ever believed was wrong. Everything he had ever done was tainted. And he began, oh my goodness, the despair that he had to be experiencing. And God sent a man to pray for him, Ananias. He sent a man to pray for him, lay hands on him. And God restored his sight, and those scales fell off of his eyes. But oh my goodness, the darkness had just begun. He went off for like 17 years, and God took him to the place where he had given the Ten Commandments. That's the first place he ended up going after Jerusalem, and he started preaching that Jesus was the Messiah. He didn't know the gospel yet. All he knew was Jesus was the Messiah. He didn't understand. He didn't know anything about the cross or why it had to happen. So God took him to Arabia. He took him to the place where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and God began to open Paul's eyes to why the law was given. And oh my goodness, how deep it is. No Jew understood it. God did not give the law to bring about righteousness. He gave the law to bring about wickedness and expose what we are, to arouse our sinful nature and show us what we are. And Paul comes back and starts preaching that, because he found that out through going into deep darkness. He found out the meaning and the truth behind all of those things that he had been memorizing and studying and believing. He never really knew what they meant. He never really understood why God gave the law. He didn't understand anything until he went into, why did God have to take him into total darkness to reveal to him the light? It's a mystery, but I can see some. I could see through the glass darkly, dimly, as the Bible says. I can see some. I don't understand it, but because of our fallen nature, because of what we are children of the devil in the natural man. Even if we're born again, our natural man that came from Adam is an enemy of God. God has already crucified it and taken care of it, but we can't walk in that, in the power of that, and we can't lay hold of his life until we really get it, until we really understand it. And the greatest, most zealous believer could not get it. If maybe You're special, but I know I didn't get it until I went into the darkness. Saul, the most zealous of us all, the most passionate of us all, could not really grasp the truth of the cross, the truth of the covenants, until he went into total darkness. Now, why am I talking about this? I remember when God told me not to be afraid of the darkness, and I wished I would have, I guess I did in my heart, in my spirit, I received that. But oh man, the darkness about drove me crazy, and I still face it. I still face it all the time. And without the truth, without God touching me and talking to me and showing me the truth through the pain, through the difficulty, through finding out everything I ever believed was really off. It wasn't really right. I was loving my own life and wanting God to bless it. I didn't really get why Jeff had to die. I still wanted God to preserve my life, to bless my life. I didn't get it. I couldn't get it, even as a preacher for decades. I couldn't really get it until God allowed me to go into the worst darkness I've ever been in. Oh my goodness, through the pain and the what's the word I'm looking, the despair, the hopelessness. Oh man, I've faced it. And it was through all of that that I began to see what I really am and why I had to die. We can't explain it perfectly why God uses the darkness, but we can show in the scriptures that he does, and it's his pattern. So I want to encourage you today, because friend, if you are ever going to know and really grasp the light, if you're ever going to understand it, you've got to face the darkness. Now you can't, this is not something you volunteer for or go try to make happen. God in his good timing, in his perfect timing, if you keep seeking him, he's going to allow you to have your season where your eyes are darkened and life gets very dark. And in that darkness, the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal the light to you. You can't really grasp it. You can't really understand it until you face the darkness. Here's a simple thing God told me that relates to that. He said, people cannot understand, they can't receive and understand the good news, the gospel. That's what gospel means. It means good news. You can't receive the gospel, the good news, until you fully grasp and understand the bad news. You see, the good news doesn't stand by itself. The good news is the counterpunch to the bad news. When Jesus comes into the world, the good news was a counterpunch to the fact that all of us are evil, corrupt, and going to hell. That is the truth. That's the darkness. That's the dark truth that we are all evil, that none of us do good. Not a single one of us are righteous. The counterpunch, the good news, the gospel is that God took you, he took me to the cross, and he put us to death once and for all because our life cannot be fixed. And now, if we will believe in the life of the last Adam, we can be delivered and set free eventually completely from this life of the first Adam, and we can be swallowed up with life. But the stipulation is the light came into the world and said, if you don't hate your own life, you cannot be my disciple. If you don't hate what you have, you can't have what I have. That's the stipulation. But it can't be grasped, it can't be understood until we genuinely understand the darkness. Most of the grace preaching today, most of the things that make people feel good are not the truth. They're not the gospel. They are a twisted lie of Satan to comfort us in our own life, to convince us that God loves our life and wants to bless it, sees such wonderful value in it, and that we're all the children of God. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's not the gospel. That's why it doesn't include any of the bad news. You can't give the good news without coupling it with the bad news. In other words, you can't walk in the light unless you have comprehended, unless you have experienced, unless you have been in the darkness. You've got to understand the darkness. And if you don't understand the truth, if you don't know what we all are and where we are all headed, then you can't really be a bearer of light, a bearer of good news. Listen, if I go up to someone to tell them the good news first, I have to, if they don't know the bad news, I have to help them understand the bad news. Otherwise, I can't give them the good news. I can't tell them Jesus crucified their life and they have an opportunity to receive. That doesn't make any sense until they understand what their life is. Now, I'm not talking about unbelievers, a non-religious, but I'm talking about everybody. Jesus didn't come to preach to the unbeliever. That, listen, all the religious people were the same thing. They loved their life. They didn't understand the truth. They didn't comprehend it. Though they were studying the light, memorizing scriptures about the light, though they were pursuing the light with all of their being, they didn't comprehend it because they didn't grasp the darkness. They didn't know that they were all the same thing. The Pharisee, the Sadducee, the teacher of the law, the scribe, today that would be the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist, the scholar, the ones that write the commentaries would be like the scribes. You know, they would be like the scribes, the ones that translate the scriptures, the ones that preach. It was like the Pharisee, the Sadducee. These are not some archaic ancient group of people that had it wrong. These are the group of mankind that is religious. It's still the same exact thing today. The Bible's not about them. It's about you. Amen. Whenever you begin to see that, oh my God. And listen, God told me, don't be afraid of the darkness. I know there's some that will receive this, whether now or in the future somehow, who are facing deep darkness. And I want to encourage you in Jesus' name, do not be afraid of the darkness. You are not becoming something bad. You are finding out what you have always been so that God can show you what he really did with you. Until you come in agreement with the darkness and the truth about the darkness, you can't be a true bearer of the light because you will have it mixed up with darkness. Saul of Tarsus could not preach the gospel. All he could preach was the Bible. All he could preach was scriptures. All he could preach was doing good and trying to get to heaven and God, whatever he could not preach the gospel. He couldn't preach that you died and your life is hidden with God in Christ because he did not comprehend that until he understood why he had to die. Until he counted everything that came from himself, everything that came from his parents, everything that came from every religious zealot before him, until he counted it all as a big steaming pile of crap, he could not be a bearer of the light. He couldn't understand the truth until he saw there was no good thing, not a single one, inside of him. Until he understood there are none that do good, not a single one. He couldn't preach the true message of the cross. He couldn't tell people how to reject their own life and lay hold of the life of Jesus. He couldn't do it until he grasped the darkness. So God took the most studied, the most zealous, the most passionate of all the people in the world at the time. At least he was up in the top levels of them. He said himself, through the Holy Spirit, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was above, head and shoulders above all the others in zeal. So Paul was the most passionate of the Jews for God. He was the most zealous. He was the most studied, the most learned. Nobody had anything above him. And God chose that one, the one that everybody in the world would see as that guy knows God. And he didn't, because he didn't understand the darkness. He chose that one. And what did he do? What did he do? Did he come and give him this great, wonderful light revelation? He blinded him. The light did come. As a matter of fact, the light shone, but he couldn't comprehend. He didn't understand. It blinded him. It didn't give him sight. It took his sight away, because the light is not for the natural man. The light came and blinded the natural man so that the spirit man could see the truth. Oh my goodness. This is so deep, because God's ways are so much higher and his thoughts are so much deeper than ours. This is so deep, it's hard for our natural mind to grasp. And to be honest with you, I'll just talk to you out of my own natural human life. I don't like it. I don't like the fact that I've got to go through deep pain, deep despair, that I've got to see how corrupt and worthless my life is to be able to understand what the cross is and why it had to happen and what he did. I don't like it. I don't like having to face the darkness so that the light can truly shine into my spirit and I can really believe the true message of the cross. But oh, beloved, I don't like it in the natural, but oh, how thankful I am in my heart that God has allowed me. Oh, goodness, if God is allowing you to face pain, if he's allowing you to go into darkness, it's not because he hates you. It's not because you did something wrong. Friend, of course you've done something wrong. Forget about, have I done something wrong? It's not even what you do. It's what you are. You are something wrong. This is why you had to die. It's not what you do. Everything you do is tainted with wrong if you do it in your own life that came from Adam. If you don't, oh my goodness. I thought, what did I do wrong? Why am I suffering? Why am I losing things? What is going on? What did I do wrong? Because I was under the darkness, the misconception that if I do something right, then my life will be blessed. That's what the old covenant said. But it didn't just say if you do something right. It said if you do everything right. I couldn't see that until I faced the darkness. The old covenant does not promise you blessing if you do some things right. It promises you blessing if you do everything right. If you prove to do all that is written therein. Meditate day and night, Joshua 1:8, that you might prove to do all that is written, and then you shall make your way prosperous and successful. God said, if you'll do everything I said and not mess up in one single area, then your life will be blessed. I'll give you everything the world has to offer. And people are still mixing that up with the new covenant because they don't understand why God did it. Paul found out why God did it. Why did God promise Adam to give him the cattle, to give him houses he didn't build, to give him everything the world has to offer if he would be perfectly obedient? Because God knew he could not be perfectly obedient, and he was exposing what Adam is, not so that he could give Adam the world, but so that he could show Adam the true kingdom of God, and that he could cause Adam to hate and despise this temporary world and to reject it, that he might gain the kingdom to come and the life of Jesus. All the things of the old covenant were a picture, a shadow of what was coming. There's no promised land here. The true promised land is the kingdom of God, and everything in the old covenant is a picture of how to enter into that. Oh my goodness. And the Apostle Paul began to understand the truth when he went into deep darkness and despair, when he found out that everything he had ever done up to that point was worthless. All of his praying, all of his fasting, all of his tithing, all of his giving, all of his zeal, all of his passion, all of his studying, everything was worthless. Thank God God used it. God used all those things that he had learned and found out, but they meant nothing. Once he really found out the truth, he realized all that stuff is worthless. You could be the best person in the world, the most religious, the most zealous, and bust hell wide open because you still love your life, you haven't rejected it, and you don't really understand the cross. And this is why the devil has deceived billions of people. billions of people with a false message about Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come because God loves our life. He came because God can't stand our life, to be honest, and put it to death because God loves our spirit and wants to give us a chance to receive a new life in it. Oh, my goodness. But only through the darkness. My goodness, as a young believer, I believed in the light. I believe God's going to bless me. I'm going to do what God said to do. And I failed miserably in areas I never thought I was failing in. I was failing in all the areas I thought I was succeeding in, much less the areas I knew I was failing in. I was failing in the areas I thought I was succeeding in. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was failing in every area he thought he was succeeding in. That was the darkness. We can't see it. We think we're doing good. We think we're walking with God. And the devil often has just lied to us. And we're walking in spirituality, but we're not really believing the truth. And we're not really experiencing the genuine gospel and walking in it and bearing the light. For time's sake, I'm going to wrap this up today. But these scriptures, if you meditate on them, oh my goodness. I want to encourage you, beloved, because I don't think there's any other way. I wish that there was, but there's not. And thank God this life is short and momentary. The sufferings of this present time can't be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in you. But if you're not willing to face the darkness, I can assure you, you will never be a true bearer of the light. And you will never fully grasp it. You'll never really get it if you can't handle the darkness. God will not allow more on you than you can handle. That's scripture. Oftentimes it sure feels like we can't handle it, but that's scripture. In other words, if you can't handle the darkness, friend, God's not going to let you really face it fully. And that's going to keep you from inheriting all that he has for you. But if you can face the darkness, if you can face it, if God can get you to a place where you don't kill yourself, you don't kill somebody else, and you can go through the darkness, you can face it, then he can open your eyes more and more to the genuine light. For out of darkness, God speaks and God shows us things. Though there is no darkness in him, he had to use darkness. He put us in the darkness. The darkness comes first and then the light. And that is our full day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What day did he make? He made a day of darkness and then light. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. May God open our eyes as we face darkness, as we face despair, as we see what we really are and what we produce, as we watch our families and what happens in our families and what happens in our lives, and when our dreams of how great my life is going to be, when they come crashing down, when all of our false prophecies over our own selves and the things people will say to us that we want to hear, when all of those things begin to crumble. Christianity tells you, don't give up on those dreams. Oh God, I'm so glad I gave up on that. Years ago, I gave up on all that false nonsense, and it has delivered me and set me free in so many ways. I don't have all that anxiety and struggle and crying in God's presence. I know you're going to bring it to pass, God. I know you're going to. I was under deception and darkness. Didn't realize all these lies I was believing about how great God was going to make Jeff's life. It was all a lie. It was deception to get me to despair and to quit. But when God allowed me to go into the darkness, he began to open my eyes to why Jeff had to die. And oh my goodness, it's not such a great life in the natural man. Paul said, if there is no resurrection, we're worse off than all people. Friend, God is not offering you a better life than the world has. He's offering you a very difficult life, mentally, emotionally, struggling, going through rejection, going through darkness, you know, wanting things to be better, wanting to be happy, wanting to be successful. This is what the world is after. If you go after God, God's telling you you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. There's going to come times you're losing things. You're not getting what man wants. But the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And role reversal is coming. There's nothing more clear in Jesus' preaching than role reversal is coming. He constantly emphasized it. Woe to the rich in this world, for they've received their reward already. He talked about Lazarus, the poor man laying at the rich man's gate. When the rich man was burning in Hades, Lazarus was over there being comforted in Abraham's bosom. And Abraham told the rich man, hey, when you were alive, you had your comforts. And Lazarus suffered. But now the roles have been reversed. Jesus is preaching. Now the roles have been reversed. Friend, there's coming a role reversal. So if you're losing things, you're not on the losing end. If you're not getting what you wanted, you're not on the losing end. You're on the winning end. The more you lose, the more difficulty you face, the more you really begin to grasp the truth. The one standing at a distance beating his breast, God have mercy on me, I'm a disaster. He's the one ready. Not the one who's doing well, thank God, I'm not like other people. Oh God, thank God I'm not a drug addict. Thank God I'm not addicted to this or that or that. Thank God I don't do that. That's the one who's not ready. Oh my goodness. So beloved, in Jesus' name, don't be afraid of the darkness. Don't voluntarily be stupid and try to go into the darkness. Listen, God knows timing much better than we do. And God knows what you can handle and when you can handle it. Just trust him. Whatever we face, whatever we go through, whatever our natural man even did. When God allowed me to go through the darkness, I cussed God as loud as I could cuss God. I never dreamed that I would ever do anything like that. I thought I loved God. I found out I didn't love God. I cussed at God. I hated him, really. I hated him. And you know what? He could handle that because I always did. I just didn't know that I did. This is why Jeff had to die, because Jeff is an enemy of God. I just didn't know it. I thought I was a friend of God. I didn't understand it. I am a friend. I sang that song. Praise God. I thought I was a friend. I didn't know that the flesh is enmity against God, cannot subject to him. That's Romans chapter 8. It's so clear. There are none, my friend, that are good. None of us. None of us truly fear the Lord. We are all the same evil thing. We all had to die. And oh my goodness, when I began to find that out, thank God, thank God. And we did die. That's when the light really begins to open up. But there's so many people trying to believe these things in some kind of weird way without the darkness. They don't understand why they had to die. But they preach things like we are one with Christ, we're seated with Christ, we're the righteousness of God. They preach the side of the light without the darkness. Not, they don't say like Paul, I know there's no good thing in me. They don't say that. They can't say it because they're trying to believe in the light, but they are not genuinely grasping it because they don't really understand the darkness. And God allows us to go through pain and misery and difficulty so he can open our eyes and take the scales off of our spiritual eyes so that we can genuinely see the true message of the cross and be delivered and saved and set free from this state of corruption and decay. Oh, beloved, in Jesus' name, may God give you a revelation as you go through this world, as you face the darkness. May he open your eyes to the light in Jesus' name. Amen.